always encouragement. Hope that everybody else has been encouraged as we've gone throughout our service so far, and hope everybody is doing well. I had to start off last Sunday with pointing out that I did come up with a lesson on my own by showing you this cloth sermon. So I'll start off this Sunday bringing out the point that I did not bring out the lesson on my own because Josiah said this is what I'm going to preach. Josiah started off with a few points, and then we worked together to finish out the lesson for this morning. But just giving credit is due. So this morning, we are going to be talking about the Good Samaritan. Going to Luke chapter 10, if you want to open up your Bibles, Luke chapter 10, and verse 25 through 37. Luke 10, starting in verse 25, is where we read about the Good Samaritan. And so it starts off here in verse 25 and says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your soul, and with your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.'" I want to stop there just real quick and make a side note that even with this point, and as we could go and study about the rich young ruler instead of just the lawyer here, they both had similar questions and to the point of what one must do in order to have eternal life or be perfect. And, they both gave good answers and rightly answers. And Jesus answered him, yes, you're correct. But both of them end up wanting to justify themselves or wanting something more. The rich young ruler ends up asking that point of question of what do I need to do to be perfect? Not that just to get to heaven, but now what do I got to do to be perfect? Of course, that's where Jesus went in more detail, and he went off sorrowful. But here, the lawyer says in verse 29, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Let us not get caught up in trying to justify ourselves. Rather, knowing what the Word of God is, we need to keep His commandments. Commands that the answer the lawyer had given. If we simply follow those things and we apply it as it should be applied, we'll be following correctly. So to get to our lesson, though, we start in verse 30. Verse 30 says, "And Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, that Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, said to him, 'Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." We're simply going to go throughout this parable, this lesson here, and look at the different points we can make through it and apply it and see how it is that we should be living our lives today, as the Good Samaritan gives us an example, as the Lord gave us, as He lived His life on this earth. So the first point I want to bring out, something that we kind of brought out in our adult class this morning, is that simply there comes a time and point that we need help. There is a point that we need to understand as we know our struggles and our temptations and when it is that we individually need help. But in remembering that, we need to remember others need help also. Sometimes we can get focused up on the fact that you know, someone needs to be doing this for me, and someone needs to be doing that for me, and I, you know, where was everybody else when I was this way, and where was everybody else when I was that? And think about all the things that we've gone through and how some people were there and others were not. And then we have to sit back and ask ourselves, what are we doing to help others? Because it comes down to it, there's a time and place in which we all have times in which we need help. And one point to bring out is that we have to be willing to accept help. And there's times in which we try to reject it. In James chapter 5, verse 14, if you turn along with me there, James chapter 5, and in verse 14, it says here, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Again, here it brings out the point, as we are more than just neighbors, hopefully, as we gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a family. And therefore, we should know each other's needs. We should know where one another has struggled and be there for each other. Know when one is in need of help. And therefore, that means we actually know each other. Again, that comes down to knowing our neighbor also. In a story of the Good Samaritan, as he's bringing out here, it's not just those who, of course, we know are needing help, those who are our neighbors and we know what's going on. But simply as he's traveling along, comes up on a stranger, comes up on just some person that you can tell is struggling. He is needing help. How many people do we see in need of help from day to day? We need to understand that we're supposed to be there for each other. And in the least bit that we could be here praying for one another, encouraging each other, helping each other as we go through our lives upon this earth. Needing help. That's a point that we brought out as we look to the Good Samaritan. We might overlook it. And the fact that this guy was beat to death. He was left there to die. He needed help. And when we really get down to it, we think about the spiritual aspect of that and the point that anyone who is not right in the sight of God is dead. And they need help. They need guidance. They need someone to point them in the right direction. They need someone that's willing to study with them, shine a light so that they can see in the darkness and see where they need to correct their lives and follow the Lord. Then we bring out the point of who's not our neighbor. Because as we go through and Jesus brings out the point, well, which one is your neighbor? Well, the question to be made is, who is it? Who is not the good neighbor here? Who's not doing their part as a neighbor? As we look into the story of the Good Samaritan, well, we had the priest who had walked on by, and someone who you know should be out there teaching, a Levite who should know the teachings of God, who knows that they should be humble and merciful and kind and following in the right example of the way that God had instructed them to do. And yet, when they came up on somebody who was in need of help, they instead got all the way on the other side of the road and just walked on by. They walked on by. They were not the neighbor that they ought to be. They were not doing their part. In Luke chapter 10, verse 31 and 32, as we look and see that example there. In Matthew chapter 25, turn along with me there. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, a good thought that helps drive that home here as we look into when we are judged and how he divides them from the left hand and the right side. And he looks and he starts to speak to them. Here in verse 41, it says, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they will answer, saying, Lord, when When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? When was it? When have you ever seen your Lord and Savior, our Lord, the only Son of God? When did you see him sick? When's the last time you visited? That you assisted? Verse 45, then he will answer and say, "Surely I say unto you, as much as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." So in the consideration of who is our neighbor, again, it comes back to that point that we treat one another as our Lord, as our Savior. Not to the point of bowing down and worshiping your Lord and Savior, but to the point that if he was here, what would you do for him? How much kindness would you show to the Lord? How hospitable would you be to him? How merciful, how kind, how loving. Again, we got that example of somebody coming in, and you know, you can tell maybe they drive a nice car as they come in. They're dressed real nice. And so, you know, you let them sit anywhere. You're willing to let them sit right beside you. You might encourage them to sit beside you. But then you got someone who's just walking down the street coming in some dirty rags and stuff.
And you go, "I don't want to sit by that person."
How do we treat one another? As much as we do to one another, we have done unto the Lord. Who is your neighbor? Who is a good neighbor? Are we somebody's name? Another point to bring out is helping enemies. We go through the story of the Good Samaritan. The reason it's brought out this way is, of course, that the Samaritans were not well looked upon, that the Jews did not really think highly of them. You might get caught up in that racial issue, and so they were not friends by all means, and so you just assume that the Samaritan would be the one that walks down on the other side and just pass by, because he might look at him and say, "Well, he wouldn't help me. You know, I know what they think about me. And if he was conscious enough, he'd probably just reject my help because who I am." And so they were enemies. They were not friends. Not the usual get-along kind of people. And yet, here he is. He comes along. And that's not what the Good Samaritan looks at. He simply saw somebody in need of help. And so, again, we follow in the footsteps of our Lord and follow in the same way. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Matthew 5 and in verse 43 says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Again, the point that is being made here is not that when your children are sick at home, that you take care of them with everything you have. And every time you hear them make a noise, you're up and checking on them, seeing if they need a drink, seeing if they need medication, taking them to the doctor, seeing if they need any food, helping in any way that you can. Because that's your family, that's your children, your spouse, your parents. You got those who you will do anything for at any time, day, or hour. How about your enemies? How about those who you usually want to be around you because you know how they stir you up, you know what they've done to you in the past, and then there's a time in which they are in need. You might even say it's, you know, you must be at your last leg, your last hope, right? You must have nowhere else to go if you're coming to me. Because you know how we are. You know how our relationship is. That may be the case. What are you going to do? What will your choice be? As Jesus is answering this question of who is my neighbor? Well, it's the one who's willing to help their enemy. We are to be loving to our enemies. Another point to bring out is that as the Samaritan aided and assisted this man, he didn't just stop by and check and say, "Hey, you okay?" Or he didn't just look there and say, "Someone, you know, when I get to town, I'll send somebody back." He didn't just, you know, do the bare minimum of what he could have done. The Good Samaritan did so much more. He went the extra pace. He stopped by, saw how bad this man was, let him ride on his animal, brought him to an inn, assisted him, took care of him. And on the next day, when he had to continue on his way, paid the innkeeper to keep him even longer, to take care of him, of whatever he needs. And then said, "If you need more, when I come back, I will pay it." The Good Samaritan went the extra mile. The Good Samaritan continued to do as much as he could. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 41, it says, "And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." That extra mile, he went the extra distance. He went the extra distance. Again, I know Jesus is a more ultimate example for us to look to, and how far he was willing to go. He was willing to leave home in heaven, to be born upon this cruel world, to lose all his treasures, to be able to go through pain and suffering. He went, you know, 40 days and nights and fasting and being tempted by Satan. He was scourged. He had a crown of thorns beat up on his head. He was nailed to, you know, he didn't just die. You know, I like to make that point. Because when we say Jesus died for our sins, he didn't just die. He just died of old age and a good old life. He didn't just die before a bullet and the death was quick and smooth, probably didn't feel a thing. Jesus was crucified for you. He went the full extra distance to make it complete. And again, he did these things while we were in sin, therefore he did these things while we were his enemy. Going the extra mile. Doing more than what had to be done. I mean, if he had simply just checked on him, that was more than what the other two did, right? If he had just got him into the next town, got him to the inn, and left him there somewhere, someone else would eventually stall him there. Surely they'll take care of him, right? He went the extra distance. He did all that he could do. Went the extra mile. Again, asking that question of who is my neighbor? That's what the lawyer wanted answered. That's the question he had to ask. Wanting to justify himself because, you know, I can extend my helping hand to my friends, to my family, to those who are good acquaintances. You know, who do I really have to help? And, of course, going back to the study, it was everything. It was the one who was willing to help and assist. That's how you become the neighbor. That's how you become a good neighbor, the person that has love for one another. Because that's what he says, love your neighbor as yourself. That is how we're supposed to be treating one another. Get back to that answer, love your neighbor as yourself. Now you can understand why the Good Samaritan went so far, because he was picturing not just that this man might be Christ, and if Christ was there on the side of the road and he was beat, and he was left for death and stoned and thirsty and hungry, that we'd pick him up and we would take him back to our own place, not just the hotel, but we would take him back to our place and we'd stay by his side the whole time. But this comes down to, what would you hope someone would do if it was you? On the side of the road, after someone had jumped you, beat you, taken everything you had, you have no way of getting a hold of anybody, nowhere to go, you can't even get on your feet. What would you want them to do for you? So Jesus said, go and do as he has done. So if we'd go back to Matthew chapter 25 and read the verses above what we had already read. As the king spoke to them, telling them to enter in, well done. You've done good because when you saw me hungry, you gave me food. And when you saw me thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was sick and in prison, you visited me. Why? Because they done unto others as if it was the Lord. They did all things wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. So we ask that question is, am I a neighbor? Am I the neighbor that is going to help, to be there for each other? It's one thing that as we chose where we're living now, you ask Casey, of course, I've brought out time and again. Hunting season's over, so I try not to make too many analogies with that anymore until it comes again. But I'd love to have property. I'd love to have that house that has a bunch of property where I can go in my backyard and hunt instead of have to get up a little extra early because I got to drive somewhere else and beat that sun from getting up. But it's been nice having some good neighbors. We got some good neighbors. Having people that live right beside you, that checks up on you, that are there for you, and sees how you do. And when we're out of town, you know, they're keeping an eye on the house, occasionally sending you a message and saying, hey, I saw this. Is everything all right? And you're like, yeah, that was so-and-so. We told them that, you know, they're checking on the dog. And so it's nice to have good neighbors. I can't complain about that part. Question that comes back around, though, are we a good neighbor? Are we doing as the Good Samaritan would have done, as our Lord would do? And we have to make these applications to our life today, and we have to go through and point out that there's times we're in need. Remember that there's times other people who are in need. Remembering that we have enemies. Even though that we have enemies, we have to be willing to help them and assist them. Remembering that there are going to be those who won't help. And so if we know that there's those who won't help, and you pass the opportunity up to help, who's going to help? If we sit there with the mindset of someone else will do it, and then the next person has the same mindset, and the next person has the same mindset, the opportunity is going to disappear. No one's going to help. No one's going to assist. We have to remember that because then we have to step up. Remember that there is a minimum. There's a time in which we get caught up in saying, well, this is what I'm going to do. I could do more, but I'm not going to. There's more that we can do. But also remembering, taking the example of the widow who simply gave very little, but in God's sight gave so much more than everybody else because she gave all that she could. If it's just simply a cup of cold water, as it's brought out, that's all that you can give, and that's what you give, God knows. Because when you get caught up saying, well, this is all I can do, I can't do much more than that, because maybe all you can do is break out your phone, make a phone call and say, hey, I saw this on the side of the road. I wanted to make sure someone knew and make sure everybody's okay. Picking up your phone and making a phone call. That's all you can do and do. God knows what you're able to do. God knows the situation. He knows and looks to your heart. That's the big key reminder is God is looking to your heart. And the reasons that we make decisions on whether or not we should or should not assist somebody. Let our hearts be in the right place. Let us have true love for one another, wanting to help each other. Don't want to leave without extending the invitation. Our Lord has given his life so that your sins can be forgiven. If you're here and you still have sin in your life and you need forgiven, we encourage you to make your life right. Whether that is going to God in prayer, asking for his forgiveness, pleading for his strength to give you the strength to overcome and to repent of your sins. Or if you're here and you've yet to obey the gospel, you've yet to be baptized to wash away your sins, we want to encourage that you make the decision to put those sins behind you today as you stand in sin.